DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
As the face of the WWE goes, it's time for that face to change. Now, you guys have to understand, I don't look like Randy Orton. I mean, look at him. I mean, he's chiseled, he's tall, he's like 6'5", and look at him, he's pretty. He's just so pretty. I mean, look at him. You know, I can see why Triple H likes him so much. He's just so pretty. He's been handed every opportunity here in the WWE. He's created his own success, but your opportunities have come because your father was here, your grandfather was here, and you have been given the genetic golden ticket to be here in the WWE. I had to wrestle in every dirty high school gymnasium all across the country, all across the world, in staph-infested mats, all over the place, sleeping in my car, just to get an ounce of respect, just so I can climb the ladder of success step by step. Because guess what? I am not tall, and I am certainly not pretty.
Greg DeMarco Show.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
You're welcome.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not, they come off really weird. Oh my God, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just got to, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Damn.
This week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, normally with Sue Young, and we advertise Sue Young, and we're all excited about Sue Young, and unfortunately Sue Young called me about half through the pay-per-view. She, remember we talked last week, Patrick O'Dowd, she had a car accident, and unfortunately she might have suffered a slight head injury in said car accident. So head was acting up, so she actually had to literally turn off the pay-per-view and rest the old head.
According to some of the people out there, they'll probably blame the pay-per-view and not just because of the flashing lights.
Who knows? And of course, get well soon, Sue. Or get well, Sue. I don't know. Whatever. She will return next week. She does feel bad, especially because she was excited about coming back on. Hyped it up as we've been talking about it all week, and then not feeling well. So things do happen. However, as advertised, we do have a third member of our pay-per-view reaction team. Going to be pulling double duty today. She's going to be with us from beginning to end, and that is the beauty and brains, the biggest brains in the business, Heather Lynn. Heather, welcome to the first hour of the Greg DeMarco Show.
Oh, thank you. I feel so privileged today.
You should. No, I'm just kidding. So, which is the time of it is the second hour, but this week, of course, it's the first hour, thanks to the pay-per-view, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Hour number two, we'll start off with a visit from our good friend DeMarquette, Allie Parker, and next week, don't forget, taking calls will be the Perfect 10 Scarlett Bordeaux, so get ready for that. In 2 weeks, DeMarquette, Nikki St. John returns to the program. The most ever listened to live edition of the program, Patrick O'Dowd, was Nikki St. John's. We get a ton of people in replay, but we literally had like 11,000, or was it? No, it was 19,000 people listen live when Nikki St. John was on, thanks to the fact that it was featured on the main page of blogtalkradio.com. And yeah, so she has that distinction.
Wow.
I know.
You kind of no-sold Nikki St. John right there, man.
Well, of course it has a lot to do with Nikki St. John as well. That's why they're going to come back for more. And
that'll be
in 2 weeks. So begin to get ready for that. Of course, we're live on the Powerhouse Pro Wrestling Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. You can head over to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for much, much more. Buy a T-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/GregDeMarco. And Patrick, as you know, we've been talking about our good friend Michael Kingston and the Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
And for Headlock Comics, that ended Friday night. It has been officially funded on a goal of $16,000. The project reached $27,108 with a total of 466 backers. So quite impressive indeed.
That's terrific news, man.
Exactly. So come January, a lot of stuff should be getting released from our friends over at Headlock Comics and Michael Kingston. So congrats to them. But we are here tonight to talk about the pay-per-view. WWE Night of Champions did take place tonight. We've got a lot of great things to talk about and plenty. Hope you guys took notes. And if not, it's A-OK, because we're going to have some fun talking. Dedicate our entire first hour to the pay-per-view reaction. And let's start where, of course, everyone's going to want to start, and that is the main event. Just ended a few moments ago, Daniel Bryan with the clean victory over Randy Orton, winning the WWE Championship for the second time in 4 weeks. Heather, let's start with you. Your thoughts on the main event and the finish to the main event that we just saw.
Do you want my reaction or what my prediction is going to be from this?
Let's start with your reaction, because I think we all have a prediction, and we might all even agree. So let's start with your reaction to the victory.
I wasn't too shocked. I figured something like this would happen. No interference, but the double ref thing. But it was a solid match. It was good. I mean, anything Daniel Bryan does is pretty solid. Orton's gotten a lot better as time goes on, so I think he matched up pretty well with DB I was entertained by the match. I thought it was really, really good. You know, and it wasn't too much, but it was enough. And the fans were clearly extremely behind Danny Bryan.
Yes.
I think it worked in his favor. So.
No kidding.
I thought the finish was right. You know, I thought the finish, I called the finish at home and it came out pretty good.
I even sent a tweet out during the main event just about how hot the crowd was for everything that was going on in this match. Like, how you can say that the storyline's not working. It is. Like the best of the business angle is definitely working. Like, the way the crowd is responding to everything in this match. They didn't quite react to the finish. I just think it's because they didn't expect it right there. And I think they were just waiting for Randy Orton to kick out or something to happen, and it didn't. So, but I did agree. Believed it was a good match. Enjoyed the match and enjoyed the finish myself. Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on this evening's main event?
I thought it was, much like Heather described, it was a very solid main event. It was a very good match. And this pay-per-view as a whole, I think was kind of booked to death, but it needed to be. And the same thing with the main here, with the ref bump and I know we're going to get into prediction time in a little bit, but it was just one of those where, even though there was a lot sort of going on with the way it was booked, it still created a really good finishing moment. It was a lot of fun to watch for me. I enjoyed it. I do think, you know, everybody sort of picked up on, at least people in the know, had an idea of something goofy going down with the ref once we had our ref bumps. So, you know, good main event. You know, is it going to set matches on main events on fire in the future and change the way we look at pay-per-view? No. But a very satisfying ending to what I thought was a solid show.
Agreed there. And we keep talking about the predictions. So Heather is used to this song, as we always do a little Raw preview during the Midnight Wrestling Review. But let's fast forward and bump the Raw preview up the show. Okay, enough of that. So, we keep talking about what's going to happen, and there's no reason to wait on it. Raw is tomorrow. I'm not even 100% sure where Raw is from. Doesn't matter. What do we think is going to happen tomorrow on Raw? Heather, you alluded to it first, so I'll let you go first.
Obviously, the double ref bump, either in some way, they're going to call that as either DB did it on purpose by kicking Orton into the ref, or, you know, when the second ref came out, he became the official ref, so therefore the original ref couldn't become the official ref, or something along those lines. And it's going to either lead to him being stripped of the title, get given back to Orton, or he's going to face Orton again tomorrow, and then since Triple H didn't say there would be no interference in that way, it could lead into some kind of interference, unless they make it like a no DQ or steel cage or something along those lines.
There we go. Patrick, what do you think is going to happen?
One way or the other, the title will not be on Daniel Bryan by the end of Monday Night Raw. There's no way. You know, we when it happened in the moment of the show, and as we were sort of gearing up in the 3 minutes from the end of the pay-per-view
like,
to where
don't,
we were now.
I was like, don't go changing your mind now.
No. I'm not going to. I initially said crooked ref. Which, Greg, you were so kind as to disagree with, and a lot of other people in the Twitterverse now are...
Just go with your garbage. Come on.
My position is evolving, and why are you so angry? Why? Just, you know, calm down, Greg. It's okay. You need a hug, just like the rest of the IWC. Anyway,
Wait. Pause. Heather, you heard the man. Give me a hug. No,
oh.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, I'm. They'll be there before I am.
That's nice.
I didn't even say anything. That's what nice. I love about women. Patrick O'Dowd, continue.
But anyway, so he's not going to keep it. I think that there's going to be something, you know, something to do with the way the officiating went down. I immediately was like, oh, he's crooked, because when I see fast count, I instantly think crooked. And that may not necessarily be the case, but I'll let you have your thunder, you sensitive little freak. We'll go with that. He's not keeping the belt though.
But you were saying it was crooked referee. That's what you were saying.
That's what you just said.
You were crooked ref, and you know, people are posting pictures on Facebook of Nick Patrick. That's not where this is headed. I think this isn't a story about a crooked referee. No, you did not do that. No, you did not do that. This is not a story about a crooked referee. This is a story about Triple H and doing what's best for business. And we've seen this happen before, where the evil figurehead will convince the referee to change their decision. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think we're going to see Triple H and Scott Armstrong in the ring, and Triple H is going to be like, now, Scott, think about this. You were knocked out of the ring. You were hurt. Maybe they're going to say doctors checked him out and he had like a mild concussion or a stinger. They're going to call it something, not a stinger by the way he took it, but they probably won't go concussion because that's kind of overused. And Triple H is basically going to convince Scott Armstrong to change his decision. And that's kind of the way I think it's going to go. It's going to be obvious that it's coming from Triple H, but it won't come directly from Triple H. He might imply that Scott Armstrong's job is on the line. He might do something. And it could play into the future with Scott Armstrong. It may not. For some reason, I don't think it will. But I think because of that, the belt ends up back on Randy Orton, probably in the first segment of Raw. And then we probably get Daniel Bryan against, I think he hasn't wrestled Roman Reigns yet, has he? Like, I think that's the only member of the Shield he had to wrestle someone on Raw. So I think, and maybe some Big Show involvement, who knows. But I think the belt is going back to Randy Orton via referee reversal of decision. And then they'll set up Battleground. And maybe it's another rematch. Who knows what it is. Because Battleground, I don't know what the date is of the Battleground pay-per-view, since we don't exactly have
October
a show producer. Look at that. So we've got 3 weeks until the Battleground pay-per-view. So we can't wait that long to get to Battleground. We've got to set it up right away. They've got three Raws to really set up the Battleground pay-per-view. So we should know by the end of tomorrow's Raw what the main event is. I think we assume it's going to be it's going to be between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. Probably some form of stipulation, maybe a special referee. Who knows what they end up doing. You know, who knows if the Dusty Rhodes involvement on Raw is going to have anything to do with it. There's kind of two different angles going on right there. That's something we can talk about more during our traditional pay-per-view or Raw preview. So it sounds like we're all in agreement. Does anyone see a situation where the belt doesn't end up off of Daniel Bryan right away because of this?
No way.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because that does kind of seem to be the direction that this is going in.
Just for you, Greg, 0%.
That's heavy, Patrick. That is heavy. But Chad Perry, by the way, also out of commission this week. This week has taken several people commission on the Greg DeMarco show. Hell, this week almost took me out of commission, as Patrick O'Dowd knows, with the little bout of the stomach flu. So that's all we'll say about that. So there we go. So main event, entertaining match. And Heather talked about how Randy Orton has become a better in-ring performer. Are we giving Randy Orton enough credit, Patrick O'Dowd? And when I say we, I don't mean the three of us. I kind of mean the IWC in general. Are we giving Randy Orton enough credit for what he can do inside the ring?
No. But that's been the case for a long time. I think Randy Orton, here I start out there right now, in my opinion, with Alberto Del Rio as kind of the Rodney Dangerfields of the WWE, and that they just don't get respect for what they've done. And Randy Orton, if you ever want to watch a career and see somebody markedly improve in the ring, follow Randy Orton when he started with the WWE, where the only thing that they really sold about him as a performer was that he put on a beautiful dropkick. And look at what he does now. Like, it takes two to tango, and yes, Daniel Bryan is a terrific wrestler, a ring general, absolutely can work with anybody. But you still got to have a guy who can keep up, and Orton does that, and really does it in a way that, you know, I don't sit there when I watch Randy Orton work now and be like, gee, I sure hope he doesn't blow a move, or we get one of his five rest holds or something like that. Doesn't happen. So no, absolutely, he is undervalued, and he does not get the recognition he deserves for the work that he can do in the ring.
It's funny that the two guys you mentioned as being the most underrated are our top two champions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, we don't see it. The WWE knows what they're doing.
Hell yeah. Yeah, they definitely, obviously, they know what they're doing because they're putting on good matches. And we'll talk about Alberto Del Rio's match shortly. Heather, I know you believe that Randy Orton is talented. And you've got the different perspective because you spend a hell of a lot more time in a professional wrestling locker room than we do. What do you think about the credit that Randy Orton is getting or isn't getting for what he does inside the ring? Oh, Daniel Bryan's great. Nobody's going to argue about that. But what about Randy Orton?
I honestly think it's because a lot of the reason that, you know, he may not get the respect he deserves is because he's kind of been thrown in our faces a lot. And it always has seemed like he does, you know, no wrong. And we all know about his personal life and his personal problems, you know, and a lot of that should not be brought into this business, but it is. But I think it's, a lot of people see him as, and what Triple H is true, they're trying to push him as the face of WWE, I get that. But when you are letting him get away with a lot of guys who bust their ass and don't do stuff that don't get the recognition kind of, you know, maybe get bitter about it. But I don't know. Maybe he settled down some. Maybe it's because he's getting older. But he certainly seems to have improved recently versus the past several years where it was just the same old Randy Orton match, the same old Randy Orton move, the same kicking out and everything, you know, and then the freaking Viper and all that. So there's a lot more psychology to his match now. There's a lot more that makes sense instead of him just doing 15 moves and kicking out of everybody's finisher. And I think it has to do with age. I think it has to do with calming down, settling. But I can see where people would not respect him or feel bitter towards him because of the fact that he has gotten away with a lot more than a lot of the other guys have. When you hear about guys getting suspended 30 days for smoking pot, and then he's had, you know, two or three strikes, and, I mean, some of us think three or four that maybe, you know, a lot have been hidden from us because of who he is, because of his background, his pedigree, and the fact that, you know, he's got the look and he's got what WWE wants as their star attraction.
Yeah, he kind of almost is the desired face of the WWE in the WWE's mind, which is, you know, sort of humorous just in the fact that, you know, that's exactly what they're doing in terms of their booking. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens before. Funny moment that I had over on the Facebook. Someone posted on Facebook that they did this because ratings aren't working in the Triple H Randy Orton angle, and because ratings are slipping, they're pulling the plug and changing directions. I love the internet. I really, really do.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can't wait. The reports tomorrow are going to be fantastic about.
No, Meltzer's probably written something, right? Can we get that?
Meltzer's going to predict something close to the most obvious thing that could happen, and he's going to report it as news. So that's
my bad.
No,
that's and then he's going to take all the credit for it.
He won't predict anything until after Raw. After Raw happens, then it'll be why this happened. That's what's going to happen with Dave Meltzer. That's my looking in the crystal ball.
Classic Dave right there.
Exactly. Classic Meltzer. That's what happens. So, by the way, if you want to follow along on Twitter, at Greg DeMarco Show, at Wrestling Realist, just drop the first I, or at Heather Lynn 1024, and you can follow along and have a great time. So, it is 1024, is it not, Heather? I didn't screw that up.
Yeah, you're good. It's my birthday. 1024.
Didn't know that. Maybe I could have just assumed that. Who knows, but 1024. Not a Sunday, so that's good. So we won't have to go a week without you, even though we just went a week without you. But
I probably would still be on anyway. It's okay. I don't really celebrate.
You should. You deserve to celebrate. Now we got somebody saying that, you know, maybe Orton, and this is actually in the chat room, maybe Orton failed the drug test. And that's what's going on. Well, they said the only way Daniel Bryan keeps the belt on Monday is if Orton failed the drug test. And I can go along with that. You know, I don't think they're not predicting that. The mothership in the chat room is not predicting that Randy Orton failed the drug test. They're just giving a preemptive why if it were to happen. So, and hey, if that's what's true, then you know what? Mothership Zero gets all the credit.
It'll be in somebody's website tomorrow.
Of course it will. Of course it will. That's just
with
what
no
happens.
Sources.
No, no.
If he failed a drug test, would we even know?
I don't know. I mean, there just depends on what we believe with their wellness policy. Mm-hmm. They tend to be pretty transparent. Orton's, we've known about his failures in the past. We haven't had the big name at a big time in the company failure. I know there was one time where Orton, you know, served a suspension where he kept wrestling and just didn't get paid for it. So I don't know. I don't know if we would or not. It's a good question, Heather. It's a very good question. One, hey, maybe we never know the answer to. Who knows? If Jack Swagger does, then we'll know about it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just kind of the way the internet goes. So, but So moving on to just kind of the overall pay-per-view, and I know this is a, you know, because Patrick O'Dowd and I tend to text back and forth, the overall pay-per-view, and then we'll kind of get into some of the other individual matches. And Patrick O'Dowd, I'll let you start. Just your thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole. I know you already used the phrase solid. Like, how did you feel about the full three-hour shebang that we just watched?
I thought it was it was a very solid pay-per-view. It was a very, knowing that the next pay-per-view is only 3 weeks away, I think that it makes even more sense that the pay-per-view took on the nature that it did, and that this was very much about moving stories forward. And I think that one of the things that frustrated me, and I'll talk about a little bit more, is it seemed like there were a contingent of fans and people who didn't get that and were expecting something different, at least out of the people that seemed to be popping up. And that's not what this show was. When you've got 3 weeks before another pay-per-view, you're really not looking at sort of your quote-unquote next big pay-per-view till November. You're moving stories along, and that's what happened here. And there were some impactful changes that happened. There were some a lot of plots moved forward, and I think that the matches that we saw that were in there were very good. I don't know that there was one match that was what I would say god awful or unwatchable. And say what you will, diva haters out there, there was still a double sharpshooter, and that was pretty cool.
I know, and I was like, "Don't do it if you can't do it." Like, I just had this fear that she was going to fail, and she didn't. And so
she did not.
I was happy about that, because we just never would have heard the end of it if she did. Like, it just would not have been good. But you're right. You know, double sharpshooter divas match is not getting, you know, probably not going to get the credit it deserves.
A lot of things won't get the credit it deserves. Which is tough.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like we didn't, like, you know, that's 5 minutes for a Divas match. I mean, historically speaking, ain't bad.
I know, that's an hour long Iron Man match. I don't know.
You know, we're not talking about Trish and Lita Trish and Mickey James at WrestleMania here. We're talking about, you know, a Divas match in the modern day WWE. So I don't know what people expect. Heather, your thoughts on the pay-per-view as a whole?
As a whole, I thought it was B-, C+. Wasn't my favorite. There is some lagging in it, like with the bonus match and stuff. Night of Champions, yeah, but what, one title change can? And the whole stupid polls were really upsetting me. I was seriously yelling at the TV at that point, because it's just a bunch of BS. There's no way some of those guys got voted top over some of the other guys. It, you know, I was just like, are you serious? King over Steamboat? King over Harley Race? No way. And, don't get me wrong, Sting's great, but no. So I thought it was good. I wouldn't pay for it again. There was lagging. I mean, I was already upset from the game earlier, so I started off in grumpy ass mood anyway. But it was kind of, the main was great. A couple of the other matches were great. It was just more like it flowed. It just wasn't like where you're like, oh shit, it's been 3 hours already. It was more like, is it time for Craig to call me yet? But those stupid polls. Oh,
yeah, and you didn't even mention the worst result, and I'll put quotation marks around the result, because that anybody would ever argue that Booker T was a better champion than Ric Flair is.
Ugh.
That's just flat out crazy town.
Well,
I couldn't even bring that up, because I probably would have thrown something.
But there you go, throwing things again. Did you throw a shoe?
No.
Tell me if it's a shoe. Here's the thing I'll say about the
polls. I threw a water bottle.
Honestly, who throws a water bottle? All right, I don't know. Here's the thing I'll say about the polls, and I got a couple different opinions. Number one, we say it all the time on this program, 75% of the WWE's audience is the casual fan. A lot of these casual fans weren't watching when Flair was champion. A lot of these people who were running to download the WWE app vote on these stupid polls, and they're not the ones who, you know, they watched more with Booker T. Now, that doesn't explain Sting and Hogan winning their polls, though. So that right there shoots my theory completely out of the water and proves that I'm wrong. I will say this. When DX was announced as winning their polls, the crowd went nuts for DX being announced as winning that poll. So I'm sitting here thinking that was the worst one out of all of them. They had a two-month reign, and you got teams from there like the British Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation, the Legion of Doom, and DX wins. But then I hear the crowd's reaction, and I'm like, huh. So maybe I just have no clue what the modern-day casual fan is thinking anymore, which goes against what we've been preaching for years, that we were in touch with a casual fan. I think I'm wrong. But with the Sting and Hogan winning the polls, I believe I tweeted this. If not, I should have. I think Vince is just trolling Dixie right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I really think Vince is just laughing at Dixie every chance that he can possibly get. Because, you know, TNA now copying the top angle of WWE, and I feel like Vince is just totally screwing with Dixie Carter.
Yeah. I think that's pretty fair. The other thing that you know, you were talking about the casual fan, Lance Storm actually put out a pretty good tweet that most of the winners of the polls were like the most recent like champions of whatever in the poll. So I think there is some truth to what you're saying though about what, you know, we could talk about the legitimacy of the online voting, which ever since they've done any sort of online anything that's going to yield a particular result, the WWE controls it in some way, shape, or form. You know, whether it's that your options are very loaded, or you know, just flat out, this guy won.
Yeah, my opinion on the polls is simple. I think the polls are rigged when they need to be and are left legit whenever they can be. I think they set out to have a legitimate poll whenever possible, but I do think there are times when they either stack it, like you said, like, let's have either a no-DQ match or a dance-off. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. Or they just flat out rig it based on what they need. But usually they just make it such an obvious choice.
Remember when they trolled Flair out to have him, like, beg for a cage match with Triple H or whoever?
I know.
That was one of the worst, like, where they were really worried that they were going to get, like, a submission match or something, and so they had Flair come out screaming for a cage.
Well, they probably knew. Like, they probably saw the early results and were like, shit, go out there, Rick. Elbow drop your jacket. Do something. So they were just worried as hell. Honestly, that's enough talk about the stupid polls, though. We talked about them forever. Let's talk about the elimination match: CM Punk versus Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman. Both of us picking Curtis Axel and Paul Heyman to win last week, Patrick O'Dowd, in the preview.
Yeah.
And you know, first of all, does the earlier match on the show, does that at all protect Curtis Axel and the fact that he tapped out in the later match? Heather, we'll start with you.
Yes. Because, you know, oh, he was tired. He had a strenuous match with Kofi for the title. So, of course, he's going to, you know, be tired. It's his second match, and he's wrestling Punk. So if he taps out, he doesn't look that weak. So, yeah, I do think that made a difference. I think that was part of the reason. And it also, you know, gives way to the reasoning that he would lose in a handicap match to Punk when there's two people against him, you know?
Punk is a guy who can believably stand toe-to-toe with Brock Lesnar at this point, so I have no problems. And it's not really a handicap match when, like, Heyman's standing on the outside anyway. Now, I know he could sneak in and break up a pin or whatever. But I don't know. To me, it doesn't. I don't feel any better about Axel tapping out knowing he had a match earlier in the card. I don't know why. I kind of thought he was going to lose to Kofi, to be honest with you, because I don't think Curtis Axel needs the Intercontinental title. I think his feud that he's embroiled in the middle of almost makes the Intercontinental Championship a waste at this point. At the same time, I'm kind of glad they put the match on there because it does stick with the theme of the pay-per-view. Patrick O'Dowd, did the early match change anything for you with Curtis Axel?
It did a couple of things for me. And actually, I disagree with you a lot in terms of what's going to happen next for Axel. I actually tweeted I liked that Axel's pulling double duty because it could help his cred a bit. That, like, straight off my Twitter feed, like, in the first hour of the show. for a lot of the reasons that Heather just laid out, that, you know, if you're trying to make him look a little more legit, or at least make him, you know that he's going to get shuttled off in some way, shape, or form in the match with Punk. This does it. The other thing that I think that you can sort of point to, you know, you're talking about, I don't know that Curtis Axel needs the Intercontinental title. I think that the end result of the elimination match now gives Axel the opportunity to maybe focus on his title, instead of being, as you said, embroiled in a feud. I think that that's, you know, that's why I'm okay with the way things got. I was like you. I thought that Kofi might win, and in my head, I felt like that was just a terror. Because flip that. So Kofi beats him, takes his title away.
Right.
He's lost once. Then he's
going
to be eliminated by Punk. So then he taps out to Punk. So really, the guy has no business working in the pay-per-view at all. Like, at this point, like, he can't,
right.
He can't beat Kofi Kingston. How is he going to beat Punk? The end result is what we got. This way, he wasn't supposed to beat Punk. He was going to be an underdog no matter what. And he still put up a pretty darn good fight before, you know, Punk got him and finally caught him in the end. So, you know, I don't think it made him look too bad.
Yeah, it's like, had he lost both matches, he would have been better off missing his flight at that point. Yeah, just stay home. You don't need to be here. You and don't come back tomorrow is what would happen there. So for my entertainment, I'm not going to say who should answer this question next. I'll just throw it out there and let one of you guys jump in. Is Ryback a Heyman guy or a hired gun?
I think he's not a Heyman guy, but it makes sense to put him with Heyman because he can't talk with crap. So I think if Heyman could be his mouthpiece, then Ryback would shut up and stop doing that stupid Ryback rules crap. He might have an actual legitimate shot at becoming, you know, bigger than he is now, because when he started off, it was fine. It was working for a bit, and then it got really bad, and now it's just really, really bad. And so I think the fact that Heyman, who can talk, works with somebody who looks like Ryback, who can't really talk and is not that great of a wrestler, but has room to improve, I think Heyman could only help him. And if Heyman can't help him, then there's probably no hope for him as it is.
This is true. This is definitely, you're right about that. It's funny because Ryback has had his moments. Like, he's had his promo moments where he hasn't been that bad. I remember one where he was standing on top of an ambulance that was like to the Scott Steiner level of enjoyment for me. But that said, it's very inconsistent. His best moments are pre-taped, and he is good to me as kind of Heyman's hired muscle. I don't see him as a Heyman guy either. I agree with you, Heather. I know some people are already calling him that. It just doesn't make sense for me to be a Heyman guy. Patrick, what do you think?
Again, I got to stop going second, because like, I feel like I'm just sort of repeating everything that everybody else is saying. I don't know what they'll come out and say on Monday as to what the nature of Ryback's relationship is. I don't know that I would lean so far as hired gun. I would also argue that Curtis Axel, when he was first announced as a Heyman guy, I think we were on this show and we were like, really? I don't see that. So I think
True.
It is much more about what Paul Heyman can do for a wrestler than it is, you know, whether or not somebody really is a Heyman guy at this point. I think this is a good example of what you like to talk about, Greg, frequently, of I don't think they had a freaking clue what to do with Ryback after they turned him heel early.
True.
And he sort of ran his course with John Cena, and so they had him do stupid things like, you know, whine about injuries and bully people. And then this came along. So, you know, I think this is a great opportunity for them to rebuild Ryback into the monster that a lot of people saw him as, where you can be not as good in the ring and people will forgive you for it. I don't know that he, you know, is going to have the title Heyman guy, but he's definitely going to there's definitely going to be an acknowledgement of some sort of significant relationship between the two.
And if he is a Heyman guy, then Paul Heyman will do a hell of a job selling us on that on Raw.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you, I can just see Heyman now explaining all the reasons why Ryback is the guy for him. And so if Curtis Axel is going back to, or maybe not going back to it, but it can now focus on the Intercontinental Championship, then are we looking at CM Punk versus Ryback again, only with the sides of the fence changed, Heather?
Possibly. I mean, it wasn't that bad of a feud to begin with, but hopefully Ryback's, he hasn't wrestled very much lately. It's more of just him coming out and beating people up and, you know, talking about his bullying stuff. So, you know, hopefully working with somebody on the level of Punk could bring out another really good match in him, because the last time he worked Punk, it wasn't that bad. It was actually a pretty decent match. And, you know, with the exception of the finish, but I think it's going to lead into another feud. Now, what would scare me would be like a Ryback-Lesnar team.
Right.
Maybe them two. Like, I don't know who the hell Punk would be with in that case, but that would be a hell of a team. So, but I think, I don't know, maybe with Lesnar being gone more because of, you know, everything he does, that Ryback is kind of like filling in for him,
mm-hmm.
you know, with him, like the token big guy that Heyman has. So I think it'll lead to him maybe attacking Punk breaking down in another Wolverine Hulk part two moment. You know?
Nice reference.
There you go. Patrick O'Dowd?
Shoot, I got lost on the Wolverine Hulk moment there.
Okay,
sorry. 1970s comics books popped into my head. I think that it's fresh enough that they can run with a feud for it again. And that, yeah, I think it is just that we flip the script a little bit. And in a way that I think with the current characters will be fine. So, I think that this gives... at this point, it's all about giving the CM Punk versus Paul Heyman battle legs, is what it is.
Right.
And I think that makes sense in that sense, because they are money. They, you know, it doesn't matter who's up in front of Punk before he finally gets to Heyman. It's just knowing that they're going to try and milk for as long as possible, you know, teasing that moment out until we get it. You know,
yeah, because I don't think Brock's coming back to WrestleMania. If his contract status is true, and I don't have any reason to believe that it's not, I don't think we see Lesnar again until at least the build for Mania, meaning they got to, you know, keep Punk busy because that's going to – plus, Punk still has to get his hands on Heyman, and that's got to happen. And I've given you my thought, Patrick O'Dowd, that I don't think it happens until Hell in a Cell, where somehow Punk earns his way into a Hell in a Cell match with Heyman just so that he can finally fully get his hands on him. And maybe that's the next time we see Lesnar, at least interfering, obviously not wrestling, because he won't have another match till Mania probably. But that's kind of what I see happening. But yeah, if this feud is going to drag out, then this is a perfectly fine way, in my opinion, to drag that out. In terms of Ryback and Punk, that was the feud that elevated Ryback. Like, the Punk feud, and it was done so quickly because of the injuries, where he ended up in the main event of last year's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, you know, he was nowhere near that level, and suddenly, you know, because he didn't want to let CM Punk beat up Mick Foley backstage, next thing you know, Ryback is the guy, and was protected, and was really way over. And even though he kept losing, you know, that heel turn really kind of hurt him in a lot of ways in terms of the momentum that he had, losing at Mania to Mark Henry and then turning heel because Henry was hurt and couldn't, you know, do his thing with John Cena. But, you know, here we are, and I think this could actually finally get Ryback back. If Ryback's going to be able to do it, then this is the feud that's going to do it for him, in my opinion. So that's kind of where I see that going. But we do know that CM Punk has to get his hands more and have that satisfying ending with Paul Heyman. And I say it happens at Hell in the Cell. Do you guys think it happens anywhere different? Patrick O'Dowd, since you've been going second a lot, I'll let you go first.
And maybe I just put too much value in the sort of the quote unquote big four pay-per-views. You know, Survivor Series isn't that far away. It could be there, maybe the Rumble. I think it needs to, like, for me, it needs to happen at one of the bigger time pay-per-views. Like, that to me is where you truly blow off a feud. So I go with either one of those.
Heather?
I think it goes based on how the crowd's reacting to the feud. If it's getting over, if it's you know, getting ratings and people that are actually believing the whole Ryback thing, I can see it going up until, like, Rumble. And then maybe, like, Lesnar will make his return just for the build-up to Mania. Whereas I think if it's a dud and the crowd's not into it, or they just don't like Ryback or something along those lines, then I can see it ending it somewhere, you know, sooner, like Hell in a Cell or Survivor Series.
True. Yeah, I mean, they obviously have to adjust to the crowd's reaction as well. So, again, we'll see what we learn more. I do think we get the Heyman promo tomorrow night, the Punk freaking out, typical Punk post-pay-per-view type of a move, where he freaks out and does some attacking around the ring, and we'll obviously get some Punk versus Ryback interaction as we gear towards Battleground. Is Battleground, by the way, do you guys think it's just going to be a typical pay-per-view, not any type of a theme to it, like it's just a new name for a pay-per-view for Battleground?
I was thinking, I was like, with the Battleground theme, what if it was like Heyman and, or not Heyman, I'm sorry, Triple H and Orton and someone else maybe against DB and, you know, somehow work the Big Show in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a 3 or 4 way, something along those lines.
Yeah, you know, I just had this funny thought, because it would make the internet's head explode. I don't think this is going to happen, by the way. So while I'm about to say this, I don't believe it's going to happen. What if they just out of nowhere finally gave everybody that War Games match they've been praying for? Because it's, you know, Battleground. Get it?
Oh, I would love it. You know that I would love it.
I know you would love it. I don't think it's going to happen, but it is one of those matches that people beg for all the time. And it would crack me up if this, you know, new pay-per-view, which with a name that again just sort of screams filler pay-per-view, if that just sort of showed up, I would love it because I missed that match very much, but I could feel the waves of, like, rage as it doesn't. As you like to say, Greg, it doesn't end a feud. It's not, you know, it's not the feud ender that it needs to be, so on and so forth. But,
well, and the thing about War Games for me, well, there's two things I hate about indie wrestling, and I love indie wrestling, but there's two things that I hate about indie wrestling: 30-minute Iron Man matches and one ring War Games matches. Like, I just cannot stand when indie feds are promoting War Games, and then sometimes there's not even a cage. It's just the staggered entry. But usually there is a cage, but it's just one ring in a cage. And that's not where – hell, I took Joe Zanoli from the ECWA to task, and I was like, you know this isn't a War Games match, right? And I think he just told me to shut up. But because he had one ring in his War Games match last year, and you just can't do that. You just can't call it War Games. I know getting a second ring is expensive, and if you borrow one, maybe it's not the same size, same height. I know there's a lot of variables there, but whatever. Then make up a new name for your stupid delayed entry cage match. Or War Games style. That pisses me off, too. The issue I have with War Games being a Battleground is it's right before. Then you have Hell in a Cell, then you have Survivor Series.
Yep.
So. But granted, they did it. They did it before when they had bragging rights. It was like a 7-on-7 match, and then they still had Survivor Series. So
sure.
I would love it. Now, you know, weird because they've already released the War Games DVD, so you would think that they would plan that out a little bit better. And I'm sure it's just wishful thinking. But Patrick O'Dowd, I would probably give a finger on my right hand for them to do War Games again. Like, I would just love... I would just love to see that Orton and the Shield and someone else versus whoever, whatever team. No, Triple H himself. Yeah, they could go there. I don't know if H would do it though. I almost think he would get somebody else involved. And then of course, I mean, you could even do Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler. You know, if Cody's back, plus Dustin. You know, with Goldust and his return, Big Show. There's things they could do. You know, to put that together and have a perfectly fine War Games match that fits in with the entire theme of what's going on right now in the main event. So I'm sold.
I love how irrational you just got there over the idea of War Games like happening. Like, this is what War Games does to wrestling fans. Like, I don't like, and I love this match. I love the match. I still haven't seen the DVD set. I really want to. But it's crazy the amount, and is some of it, I know you love it, but is some of it a nostalgia factor to you a little bit?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay. 100%. Because I was a kid when War Games happened, and you know, I saw one live in the Richmond Coliseum as a kid. Like, I watched the only cage match I've ever seen live for some crazy reason. I've seen Elimination Chamber. I've seen a fucking scaffold match. I've seen all this. I've seen Hell in the Cell, but I've never seen a straight up cage match live. But I've seen War Games get lowered over the ring. So, you know, for me, I would love to see War Games take place in that fashion. So it's just me. Okay. I once saw a War Games match, Patrick O'Dowd, that was done in Florida, where Heather Lynn is now, where there was two rings, but only three sides were fenced.
What's the point of that?
I have budget concerns.
Wow.
And here's the thing. It was a kind of a card, you know, indie show where all the whole crowd was on one side of the ring. So there was an empty side, which we see at plenty of shows, and that was a side that didn't have a cage wall, and it was just bad. Like, it was duct taped to the post.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen some really bad.
Duct taped to the post.
People will do anything
to
match.
If WWE wants to do a War Games match, all they have to do is go to the damn WWE Performance Center. It's got seven rings set up in there.
Oh, they got the ring. They could do it. And honestly, and here's the thing. I haven't seen the seating chart for Battleground, and that would probably dispel any chance of a War Games match.
Absolutely.
Seating chart. Because, although you would think, because they got to take out some seats to pull it off, but you have more front row seats, so you have more $300 seats with War Games and two rings. So you can't tell me that, you know, for cost cutting reasons, that wouldn't work, because more people would be buying their front row seats. Who knows? I think they should do it. That's all I'm going to say. I think. And again, it's you look where you got me going, Patrick O'Dowd. Seriously,
I know I'm rather proud of myself. I, you know, I feel like I should talk about how the Midnight Express is getting back together to work too. I mean, we're throwing all kinds of stuff out there, so that's
a better chance of that happening than work right now.
That's true.
And,
well, I don't know.
Well, maybe
not doing so good.
And Lane Selling and Bobby Eaton in the best shape in the world. So, whatever. But, yeah, got me all excited about something that 24 hours from now I will realize is nowhere near possible.
Never going to happen.
So,
but
let's
I
talk a little bit.
Never.
Yeah, 0%.
Yeah.
0%. Let's talk about the World Heavyweight Championship match between Alberto Del Rio and Rob Van Dam. It went on third on the card, and I almost think it would have been better off going on first, in my opinion, but just because you would get that first match pop. I know, Patrick, Dad, you like the finish, in terms of other options they could have had anyway.
Yep. Well, I think everybody was so sold on Ricardo Rodriguez was going to turn. You were absolutely sold on it.
I was sold.
Yeah, Heather. I think I saw something on there, and that's okay. Like, I think that it's going to happen. I was very much okay with what I felt was a good DQ for the guy I truly believe to be a chicken shit heel in the truest sense. And you know, and to do something like this, well, not exactly the sort of the chicken shit sort of move, it's still that thing that you did to get out of, you know, the possibility of losing your belt. Like, you threw the match to get out of losing your belt. And I was completely okay with it. I like a motivated Rob Van Dam is always fun to watch, and the two of them look like they work pretty darn good together. So I want a return match. I like the idea of a return match, and this just sets up fodder for, you know, another month or two.
Yeah, I could easily see, you know, Ricardo turning it, say, Battleground, and then this thing blowing off at Hell in a Cell. You know, I could definitely see that taking place. I will say this, and Heather, I'll throw it to you. The Van Terminator, doesn't that just strike you as the perfect time to cash in, a Money in the Bank briefcase?
isn't it the Van Daminator?
No, not when you dive across the ring with the chair. Yeah,
What's the Daminator? Is that what the trash can?
No, the Van Daminator is the typical spin kick, not the
end of the chair.
Okay.
Yeah, not the drop kick off the top of it.
Oh, I haven't seen that move in so long. I completely forgot what it was called.
But what you were thinking of with the trash can is the same thing, except replace trash can with chair. That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think we were all expecting Ricardo to turn, and he was. I think they're kind of teasing it, you know, with like him holding the chair so close. And every time after the match, when Rob Van Dam was in there and he was kind of behind him and, you know, holding a chair or something, it was almost like, oh, he's going to hit him. And then it was like, no. And then when he put the chair there, I was like, oh, he's going to hit him with the chair when he does it. You know, the Van Terminator, no chair. So I think they're teasing it. If they're smart, they'll hold off for a little bit because it would be a little bit too soon for him to do it now. The match was good. The finish was, it kept him the belt and it keeps the feud going. And I guess that's what they want to do right now, because I don't really see any other credible contenders at this point for Del Rio that are going to hold the crowd's interest.
No, you're exactly right. And Rob Van Dam will hold the crowd. He's one of those guys that he's over no matter what. No matter what you do with Rob Van Dam, he's going to be over. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. It's a great, yeah, that's why they brought him back. Everybody questions why they brought Van Dam back. I think we know why now. He can carry that. He has been wrestling the house shows, and I think they might need him on the house shows with all the injuries that they're going through, looking at some of the recent house show results. But, you know, that's his contract, and that's kind of where they're at. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Zack Ryder, by the way, now answering questions on Twitter, if anybody cares.
Is that still around?
Hashtag know your bro. People are making a big deal about the fact that it was Hawkins versus Ryder on the house show loop this weekend. No offense to either guy, but who gives a fuck? I mean, really, talk about irrelevant. You guys are as irrelevant as Vicky Guerrero is right now. Like, that's just – she's way more relevant, actually. That's
yeah,
not
I was
going
to say, wow, that's almost an insult to Vicky.
It is.
Yeah, she's still on TV, for God's sake.
That's true. I don't miss Zack Ryder, I'll be honest with you. You know, that's like me getting excited to read Larry Zonka's opinion of the pay-per-view that he just posted on 411mania.com.
Oh, don't. He hated it.
Go check it out. Go check it out, everybody. Go look. Go read. See, look at me. Look at me plugging that shit, Patrick O'Dowd. Look at that.
You're welcome.
What's that?
I'm going to not plug it.
You're going to unplug it?
I'm going to unplug it. He was one of the many people that annoyed the crap out of me in the running commentary of this pay per view.
Yeah.
So
let's not bother talking about that. So
whatever.
I was joking about my assessment of what he had.
Oh,
to,
no,
I read what he, and I probably won't read what
don't
he had
it.
To say.
Oh, read Larry Zonka. Totally do it. Oh yeah. Riveting stuff.
Oh, Patrick O'Dowd.
I've been holding this in for a minute.
or
like a few hours. No,
that's so
no.
cute. That's you know, he knows people, right? He can, you know, you besmirch the name of Larry Zonka and
whatever.
Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
I just love
yeah,
the fact
those
that he has random theme songs loaded that I can just randomly play. If I didn't have enough sound bites that I could make.
You have a vagina!
I now have theme songs that I can play. So.
Oh, Lord.
Good.
Yeah, it's you just. Heather, 2+ years of this. Oh.
And many more to come. To many, many, many more to come. In theory, yes.
Greg likes pushing the buttons, I know.
He does.
I do indeed like pushing the – hey, you know, Pastor Gadowd, you could log in as the co-host and push the buttons. We've had this conversation.
I don't really want to, though. Like, you've never – like, I've never needed that power. I don't need it. I'm not that guy. That's why the show is named after you, because it's your show. I'm happy in my co-host role. And you always complain that I get distracted enough as it is, and you want to put buttons in front of me. Like, that's just crazy talk. Shiny
that
object.
That is true. Exactly. Shiny object, indeed. Heather, you should have seen the week that Tony co-hosted, and he did sign in as the co-host.
Oh,
you
God.
Think I play a lot of sound
did
bites.
Did you get anything out?
There was a whole lot of vagina! Like every 2 seconds. Like he was worse than I was. And that's saying a lot. Seriously.
I
want to
try it one day.
Wednesday? Or one day?
No, I want to try it one day.
Okay. You can totally try it. Like I got no problem with that whatsoever. You can have all the soundbite fun that you want to have.
I can push all the buttons I want.
Yes. You can push all the buttons that you want. No, you can't do that.
You know your damn role, and shut your damn mouth.
No, I'm just kidding. You can. You definitely can. I have no problems whatsoever. In fact, I can even, I'll give you like 30 minutes where I won't even touch the sound bites. Like at least, you know, when Tony was doing it, it was, you didn't know who was pressing the buttons. Like I'll make sure that people know.
No drama.
It's you. I know, right? I'll make sure that people know that it is you.
Make sure you have a Ziggler soundbite on there for me. Thank you.
I got better than a Ziggler soundbite.
I don't want to make you one.
No. We've got even better than that.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
Yeah.
So we used to have a segment on this show called the Ziggler Tracker. Where the song literally lowers on its own so that we can talk about Ziggler. And we just had to give up on the Ziggler Tracker because of what was going on.
Shut up!
And it was just painful. And obviously you saw tonight, you're losing clean. It hurts. We were Dolph Ziggler's biggest fans. We were like, we're going to pick Ziggler. We're going to run with this. He's going to have a huge 20, I think it was 2012 that we did this.
This is going to be great.
This is going to be so perfect. And, yeah, that's not what happened at all.
I mean,
in a sense, he is Mr. Perfect. He is.
He's terrific at selling and losing. Like, that's what they do with him.
Yeah, him and Kofi sell like champs. Like Kofi was selling like crazy for Curtis Axel in that opener. And give Curtis Axel did a damn fine job in the opener, by the way.
He had a good day.
Sure. He did. He did have a good day. If they were giving out MVP awards, I think Curtis Axel should get a game ball. That's what I'll say.
I was gonna say he'd be like third runner up, but you know, that's okay.
Yeah. He would get the coach's award tonight. Like he'd get something. For his efforts, that's what I will say.
He'd get a participation trophy.
No, he's not getting a.
No. He wouldn't have one.
I'm kidding.
He's not getting a participation trophy. Oh, goodness, that's so mean. You are. No, I'm just kidding.
I am never mean.
I wouldn't go that.
I don't like that silence. I don't like that silence when I said that.
Well, we weren't going to say anything.
But.
Dot. Fill in the blanks.
Exactly. By the way, Patrick O'Dowd.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Yeah, so my quick hit today, a lot of people, and I've talked about this a couple times during this program, one of the things that has really bugged me about this pay-per-view is just how down it seems like a lot of our contemporaries, Greg, and peers, people who either report or write or do anything in terms of talking about this pay-per-view, just how immediately, no matter what happened on this pay-per-view, we dumped all over it. And took a, you know, and I'm getting people who are bouncing back, been like, oh, my Twitter feed is fine and all this. I really struggle with people who, you know, were supposed to be analysts who don't analyze. They just shit all over something. And I mean, it started today with opening the pay-per-view with a promo, which, yes, not the best way to open a pay-per-view, but you would have thought, like, we walked over Luthez's grave and pissed on his tombstone or something. Like, it was not that big of a deal. Yes, it could have given, you know, you could have gone for a bigger opening. You didn't do it. And what my point with all this and why I really am bothered by this is that there is a certain level of influence that, you know, a lot of us have, whether it's you're writing on a website or whether you're reporting, and this idea of, you know, giving analysis but also having some level of objectivity. And time and time again, when I watch how people respond, and again, when it's columnists or writers, to pay-per-views where it's just the second something happens, it's awful and is the worst thing ever, and the WWE really screwed the pooch this time, or TNA really, you know, bit the big one this time, it makes me wonder why you're even watching the product ever at all. Like, why are you watching? Stop. Do us all a favor and just stop. You know, if you can't truly, you know, analyze something and give an opinion on it without everything being this sucks, then you're not doing a good job and you don't deserve to do what you do because you've forgotten why you do what you do. Thank you.
Three thoughts. I know we don't usually reply to quick hits, but
sure.
I have three thoughts on what you said. Number one, don't stop reading what I have to say, not you, the other people, and don't stop listening to what we have to say on the program.
No,
thought number
not.
Two, as a columnist, is it ironic or bad or whatever that I don't care what other columnists think? It's like, you know, I put my opinion out there and don't care what the other ones have to say. And third thought, by the way, Heather Lynn actually once pissed on Luthez's grave. It's a little known fact that she once did.
Good to know.
Yes.
I told you not to tell anybody that.
No, but Heather, you have plenty of things you've told me not to do that I've done, and you still keep coming back. So
you know what? I'm not sending in those pictures now. You can forget that.
Oh, snap. And
I'm going to send her to Patrick.
Oh, hey, excellent. That works for me.
Patrick, you forward that email. You forward that email.
Don't
you
dare, Patrick, or you'll never get another one.
Remember, this is...
Wow. I'm feeling...
You know your damn role, and shut your damn mouth!
This is an emotional tug-of-war here. The one thing I do want to point out, I'm not saying you can't say, you know, you can't be critical of the product, or you can't, you know, point something out. And I think that, you know, it's fine that, you know, Greg, you were like, I don't care what other columnists write, whatever. For me, because I care about what we do, in terms of whether it's this show or whether it's, you know, the once in a blue moon when I write something or, you know, you write every week. It's like, again, it's like I said, one of the things that, you know, bothers me is that then translates to other people. Because you met Nugget. And Nugget is a friend of mine, a guy that I talk about. I love the guy to death. Wonderful person. He does. He reads what's put out in front of him or said on these things, and that's just it. Like, that's where a lot of these, you know, smart mark fans, you know, you get your information from these columns, these people, and if all you ever hear is this is shit, this is shit, this is shit, well then of course everything you're watching is shit because you're not thinking, you're not watching, and that's what bothers me. Because I don't see a lot of positivity sometimes in places where they should be. Because, like, this pay-per-view wasn't a bad pay-per-view. It, you know, was it a great pay-per-view? No. Would I pay money a second time to see it? No. But this isn't the first pay-per-view that's opened with a promo. This isn't the first time where you know, there hasn't been some monumental story that happened, that it was a storyline-driven pay-per-view. But yet, you would have thought that by some people's estimates, you would have thought it was the worst thing you ever watched. That it was just completely worthless.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Longest quick hit
ever.
That was a quick topic. That's what that was.
Very,
that was a quick
passion.
Topic. That was a quick topic is what that was, but that's okay. Hopefully you all saw the announcement on the Facebook as well as, I believe, on Twitter. DeMarco Tara Calloway will be wrestling through the end of this year. Then she's going to go away for like 2 years and have surgery and then come back. She's not retiring. She is going away for 2 years. Asked me if that meant she was going to lose her DeMarco spot, and I had to say no, of course not. We've had plenty of DeMarco go through plenty of things, and you will not lose that whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. That is what you call a quick hit.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Quick hits.
Bang.
Heather, you want to do one? I know you weren't really prepared for one.
You didn't talk about the Ziggler match. How dare you?
Go ahead.
I heard about that.
There you go.
You didn't
go
talk
ahead.
About Ziggler Ambrose. And that was actually a really, really good match. I mean, those two were really good, but I wasn't happy with the finish. But, yeah, great match.
Of course you weren't. Well, here's the thing. Are you not happy with it because take Ziggler out of the picture? Are you cool with the match actually having a clean finish in general?
Yeah, I'm glad the Shield didn't interfere, and I'm glad Ambrose. Actually, I like Ambrose as the champ. So he's a great worker and great promos, and he's pretty solid. So if I don't see it on Ziggler, then I'd see it on him. It's fine.
Okay, fair enough. I can give you that. I know how you feel about Dolph Ziggler. Obviously, we do too. We've just been burned. It's like depending on Dixie Carter at this point. It's just not
I know. I'm so hurt. I feel so helpless watching him wrestle.
By the way, if I have read detailed reports of the Impact spoilers, Patrick O'Dowd, just be ready for a solid amount of time of bitching next week about Impact Wrestling. That's all I'm going to say. I am 100% unbiased, and I will be bitching like crazy next week. I'm almost, it's on the tip of my tongue now, but I am not going to do it. But next week, there will be a lot of next week could be a good time for Heather Lynn to be on the sound bites so she can do this.
Aw, Puddin'.
About all my bitching and complaining about TNA next week. So that's what we're going to do. Patrick O'Dowd, your time today is done. You should have to go back to work tomorrow. You've been enjoying your time off, I know.
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of sad.
It happens. We all have to have
a
job sometimes. So we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, see you later.
Good night, Patrick.
Good night.
And I just hung up on Heather Lynn.
Oh, no.
How's that? I'm waiting for the evil text to come through right now.
Cold, dude. That is so cold.
I do it on purpose. I actually did it on accident, but she's going to bitch me out now.
Well,
and I'm going to take
it. You got lost in my rage. I'm sorry. I blacked out. I don't even know what really happened.
Yeah,
I need
she's
just edited.
It's okay. It's okay. We will give your topic more time. Don't you?
That's fine.
Don't you worry. So, yeah, she's going to bitch me out like crazy. So,
all right.
I'm going to take a break. Come right back.
Yeah, you get back to it.
Look, I hung up on Patrick O'Dowd, too. Man, this is. I didn't expect him to speak at all. I just expected him to smile and nod at that point. So, musical break coming once I find the music. Can't play Bad Street anymore. Here we go.
This is the one girl revolution, Taylor Hendricks, and you are listening to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Ripping these hoes!
Greg DeMarco Show.
Hey, this is Rain, and if I'm not kicking ass in the ring, I'm kicking ass in the gym. Or I'm listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. Boom.
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that sound did come off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show on the web.
Because you know you're so
high. See, I'm gonna get off the phone, I'm gonna think of something so much better.
Greg DeMarco Show.
I really do appreciate you coming on.
No problem, but my question is, where's this Allie Parker chick? You know, I saw a picture today online. She's looking pretty hot, so where's she at?
Tony Massaro.
Well, you know, you were speaking about Vegas a little bit earlier with that hot, hot girl. She's so humble, by the way.
Red
Tide. Thanks for having me, Greg, but I need you to do me a favor.
What's that?
Say what's up to Allie for me, all right?
And that song, of course, does mean it's time to bring on DeMarquette Lucky Number 7. And one that always gets a hell of a reaction, not just from Red Tide and Tony Serra, but from everybody, based upon the advertisements that I put out for her appearance today. And that is Allie Parker. Allie, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
How's it? I'm doing very well, doing awesome, and glad to have you back on. I find a random picture of you in an amazing black dress, Allie Parker, and everyone went apeshit.
Well, that, thanks.
they all went.
Kind of you.
That's what they did, though, in a good way. Like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen comments raising from wowzers to you look gorgeous. Yeah, just a lot of amazing comments that people have had. Allie Parker, just more to feed the ego. That's all it is. That's all.
Oh, no.
That's all it's
They're
about.
They're just being kind.
They are not being kind. What? Don't play that humble garbage. Come on now. They're not just being kind. And you know it. You know that they're not just being kind.
You're welcome.
They love you. They all love you. And that's why. They all do. All do love you. Allie Parker, of course, you had a busy weekend this weekend. I heard you damn near pulled off a Battle Royal victory.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. My phone's messing up. Say that one more time.
I was talking about the big weekend you had. I know you were on iPay-Per-View and almost won a big Battle Royal.
Yeah, that was amazing, actually. With Vendetta Pro, I did the women's battle for Luna Vachon Cup. It was awesome. It was me against Hudson Envy at the end, and, you know, she came out on top with the cup. But, oh, man, just to be towards the end of that was super exciting and an honor, you know, to even get in the ring with all those girls, the best in the West, you know, group of girls. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Excellent, excellent, very good. And then I believe that wasn't it for you this weekend, was it?
No, last night, Adrenaline Unleashed we ended up having a tag match. It was me and Tommy Purr against Hudson Envy and Mariah Marino. So it was kind of just the Battle Royal kind of taking over to Vegas. So we had a tag match, and me and Tommy Purr came out victorious. We beat those guys. But if anyone follows our storyline, Tommy Purr's doll buddy got a choke slam by the girls. So we're after
Uh-oh.
Them. We're going to get them.
Uh-oh. That's not good. So,
no.
Excellent. So when does this continue? When's your next Adrenaline Unleashed show?
Well, actually, Mariah Marino called me out for a bull rope match for November. So that's the next big thing for us, me and Mariah Marino, in November. I don't know the exact date. It's the second Saturday in November. I should know that. I'm sorry. But that's going to be that. But Yeah, I'm super excited about that. That's going to be a very interesting match.
A bull rope match. That's that obviously new for you. A bull rope match, something you haven't done before. How the hell do you prepare for a bull rope match? Like, I don't even know.
Watch videos, I think. I don't know. That's
get some old
start with.
YouTube some Dusty Rhodes. You'll find some bull rope matches that are out there. Don't watch the recent stuff that WWE pulled off with the bull rope match. That's not going to do you any good. Watch the old stuff, and you should definitely get a lot more out of that, a lot more mileage out of those. So awesome. And then since we last spoke on the show, you've got your own T-shirt shop opened up now.
Yeah, I have two designs. I'm really excited about the one I just made because I made it myself, and it's the Wanted poster one. I love it. That's the first idea I had for a T-shirt in the very beginning, and so it's really cool just to see things like that you have an idea of and it actually comes to life, you know. So that is, I know it's so small and little, but I'm so excited about it, and I don't think anyone's bought it yet, but that's okay. I still love the fact that it's up and it looks like a T-shirt and someone could possibly wear it someday. It's so exciting to me.
They could. Of course, ProWrestlingTees.com/Ellie Parker. You can check that out. And I know we've talked about the silhouette design for a while, Allie, and given the little black dress picture, you know, that might be what you need for the silhouette design. That might be the one that you know, you can go with. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm hoping to come up with some new pictures someday soon, so because these ones are kind of old, so I'm kind of hoping to like come up with some fresh stuff.
It's okay if they're old. People don't worry about those things. People use old pictures all the time. It'll be quite all right. So excellent. Now you, when's the next time you're coming back to my neck of the woods? When do you get to return to Phoenix? Did we lose you already? I know you said you had some terrible reception. Is Allie Parker there?
Nice try, though.
Looks like we lost Allie Parker. She's gone. She has officially dropped off the face of the earth. Not the face of the earth, but just she warned me ahead of time that she had – she might be back, though. She warned me ahead of time that she had some really terrible reception. Let's see if she's back. Are you back?
I am. Don't get Sprint. Sprint's the worst. That's what I'm working with here. Sorry.
Sprint, not a sponsor. It's quite all right. You'll be okay. I was explaining to people that you warned me ahead of time that you had the terrible cell phone reception, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That is quite all right. So I was asking you when you were coming back to my neck of the woods. When do you get to come back to Phoenix?
Man, I am out there a lot. I don't have an actual date, but I know I have a lot of opportunity there and pretty much can come out, you know, really whenever. It's just a matter of when I can actually get out there. I love Arizona wrestling. Championship wrestling from Arizona is really fun. I like working out in Arizona in general. It's a good crowd, good people. I love it out there. I hope soon. I'm hoping October. Since Adrenaline Unleashed is dark in October, probably going to be traveling a lot. So if you want me to come visit your area, let me know, and we'll see what we can do about getting out there.
Actually, we still have to have a return engagement.
Say that again?
So we still have to have our return engagement from last time, or a couple last times ago. Many, many last times ago.
Oh, like drinks?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
We've got to get our drink on.
That's right. We will definitely do that. But those kind of things don't make air. That's what we don't bring those things to the radio. No, we talk about the fact that they happened. What's that?
I said I hope no children are listening. I don't drink at all.
Of course not. No. Sweet Allie Parker does not drink and does not swear. And does not do any of those things that I know she does. So, wonderful. Well, Allie, I know you've got a lot of stuff going on right now. Of course, everybody can find you at The Allie Parker, T-H-E-E, Allie Parker, over on the Twitter, and hit up prowrestlingtees.com/Allie Parker. Buy a T-shirt, and we hope to check in with you again soon. And look at that. As luck would have it, she just got dropped anyway. So that's the third time that she's literally been dropped three times from the same program. Not that Heather Lynn knows anything about that with the Blog Talk Radio lady, but she does. So let's bring Heather Lynn back on the air and have some fun.
It's time to get off.
No, I know. It's okay. Most women don't. That's just the way it works for me. So do appreciate you sticking around. And like I said, that whole time, and actually she got dropped once earlier, Allie was literally dropped four times from the program. But it actually wasn't the fault of Blog Talk Radio this time. It was her crappy cell phone reception. So and Heather knows about being killed by the Blog Talk Radio lady.
I hate that bitch.
Heather, a few weeks ago, it was just Heather and I, and Heather was on a roll, a legit roll, and she totally got cut off. So
she was jealous. She killed
Benny. She was. She was jealous. She did kill your heat. She did everything wrong. And, hey, what can you do? You know, that's
what
the blog talking about.
You know what? I actually had people listening to that show.
You did. You had people listening.
Yes.
If people haven't been paying attention, I am one of Heather Lynn's biggest fans, and not for the reasons that you might think. I'm a big fan of those reasons as well. But she is legitimately an amazing analyst of professional wrestling, and this is why. And I knew that. Just in brief conversation before I ever brought her on the show, I knew she would be. I'm just usually 99 times out of 100, I'm a good judge of things like this. I have made a mistake or two in my life, don't get me wrong. And I just knew you would be. And this couple weeks ago, Heather showed up with a chip on her shoulder and something to prove. And you know, made the most of the short amount of time the Blog Talk Radio lady gave her, and was proving what I already knew and what a lot of people don't give her credit for, is that she knows what she's talking about, and she talks about it very well.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
And I wasn't even just fishing for compliments. It is the truth. But you, this past Thursday night, had the distinct pleasure of once again attending the NXT tapings in your neck of the woods. What do you live, like 10, 20 minutes away from them? Like, I know they're like right there, aren't you?
Yeah, about 20 minutes.
Yeah, which
traffic
is...
Traffic on the I-4 is brutal, but it's not good.
It's funny, too, because, you know, they always take place on Thursday nights. And I even once almost joked in a column that... You know, TNA went on the road just so they wouldn't have to compete with NXT. Both being in Orlando and having to share the crowd. But the NXT crowd's way better than the TNA crowds. Anyway, so that's what we... And you know,
the NXT
total
crowds
divas
are insane. Yeah.
Total Divas gets better ratings than NXT or than TNA does. So it's, you know, that's your dose of reality from reality television right there. But you had a chance to go to the last NXT tapings. You did some tweeting about it or on Facebook somewhere. You talked about it a little bit, and it was quite the eventful taping, and a lot of good things happened. And I know one that was very important to you personally, because you're friends with the person, and to just fans all over the internet everywhere, was the return to the ring of Cassius Ohno, the former Chris Hero, you know, one of the favorite sons of the internet. He made his way back to the ring, and rumor had it that he looked great, Heather, and you got to see it firsthand. How did Cassius Ohno look stepping back into the ring at the NXT tapings?
Well, he looked great. I never thought he was bad in the first place as far as his body goes. But, I mean, he's certainly getting really toned up, so he looks fantastic. And, of course, his wrestling is always, you know, on point. But the match itself was just a I mean, a kill, because they put him against one of the Wyatt family guys, the darker one, the big one with the white beard. I forgot his name.
I know. I want to call him Brody Lee, but I can't call him Brody Lee.
Yeah, right. I forgot his Wyatt family name.
Luke Harper.
Yeah, Luke Harper. Thank you. And Luke Harper, it was him, and I mean, Cassius, I mean, Ahmed was just on point and great, and, you know, nailing his elbows and everything and doing his signature moves, but then it was like slam, bam, and done. And I was like, oh, my God, I was such upset with it, but he looked great in his comeback, and I was really glad to see him when he came out and his music hit. I was really excited. My daughter's met him before, so she was extremely excited that he came out, and it was you know, I'm glad to see him back. I think they need to do something with him. And there's a storyline, I don't want to ruin too many of the spoilers because it does air, you know, on Hulu or whatever. But there's a storyline with one of the matches that kind of can, they'd be smart to put him into it because he had been involved in it before. So it would be a good way to bring him back into a storyline with NXT to get him back into the roster working full time.
Gotcha. Yeah, and we aren't always spoiler free on the show, so it's okay if you reveal some stuff. People will live. Most people that listen to the show have probably read the spoilers. And kind of the story that's going to be told over the next 4 weeks does seem to be the apparent push of Sami Zayn, of course, the former El Generico. What I got from the tapings, Heather, of course, I wasn't there, was that they're going to do something big with Sami Zayn in NXT moving forward.
Yeah, they're short. They'll bring Sami up to the main roster. My God, he's ridiculously good. It's just watching him sometimes. He wrestles El Locale, which,
right,
you know, most people know is Ricardo Rodriguez, who's actually a damn good wrestler in his own right. So they wrestled each other, and it was a great match. And, you know, some high flying, like you'd expect, but also the psychology, solid. And I mean, I was very happy with the match. And then, of course, Bo Dallas, you know, everybody's favorite, comes out. and he did a Bo Dallas Invitational. He announced it and then said that Sami couldn't be in it because Sami didn't have enough wins under his belt to be in the Invitational.
Right.
Which leads to Sami working away into it later on. But he's incredible to watch. And the crowd, I didn't hear I heard one little kid behind me who loved Bo Dallas, and he was the only person, I think, cheering for Bo Dallas in that entire arena. So it was so cute, because he was little, he was like 3, and it was so cute hearing him cheer for Bo, because everybody was chanting, "No more Bo," and he was like, "Go Bo, no more Sami." So it was, but that was like all that Bo had, you know, for his believers, that he calls them. But
believers.
He calls them the believers. Don't stop believing.
Oh, God. Does he come out to it? Because if he came out to it, that would be great.
No, but he was trying to sing it. It was pretty funny.
He's trying to sing "Don't Stop Believing."
Oh, yeah. The crowd just, they hate him so much. It's great. I mean, it's just like, the heat he gets. And he just smiles the whole time, and it's hilarious.
Good
but
for him.
Sami is incredible. I want Sami, I want to see him, you know, on Raw, and I want to see him on TV and traveling on house shows because he's so good. Him and Neville, oh my God, I just watching those two gives you chills sometimes.
Him, Neville, Corey Graves, like I think, you know, all these guys can really do some damage once they get up to the main roster. It will happen too. I don't know that we'll see it before, say, you know, after WrestleMania. But you never know. I mean, the Shield debuted last year at Survivor Series. So, you know, you can't say that these guys aren't going to debut because no one saw that coming. And of course, it did. So it's definitely something that we can see happen. And
You know who to keep an eye out on? Tyler Breeze. He used to be Mike Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pulling off that model gimmick with the selfies. And
right.
He's so over with that crowd. They start chanting, you know, "Tyler Breeze is gorgeous," because he calls himself gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so old school 80s cheesy gimmick kind of fandango-ish, but it works.
Right, it really meets current time with the selfies and everything else.
And it's funny because he's pretty much Zoolander.
Right.
When he cuts a promo, he does sound a lot like Zoolander, so I'm sure that's what they're fashioning it after. But he pulls it off so well. Like, he was in a tag match the last tapings, and the crowd was chanting for him to get tagged in, and he would tell the crowd, shut up, no, I don't want to get in, no. And it was so funny, because they were like, tag, breathe, and he's like, no, what are you, be quiet. And it was just, the crowd was eating it up. It was fantastic.
So I was like,
oh, my God, I love this guy.
It's funny because when he was Mike Dalton, it was chic for a while there to write columns that were like the five guys that to watch for in NXT, and Dalton's name would show up on these columns as being somebody who was good, and sometimes you just need a gimmick, and he definitely did. By the way, did you just make up a word? Did you say fascinated earlier? Like I think you did.
No, I said fashioned.
Nice try, though.
It was fascinated.
If I did say fascinated, then yes, I made up a word.
There you go. And hey, you know what? If you did say fascinated, then everybody is going to be excited about that. So
I'm going to be 32 fascinated.
There you go. That's right. And people will start using it because that's what happens. So that would be phenomenal. So wonderful. So moving forward in terms of what they're doing in NXT, the inclusion of the WWE storylines in NXT, of course, they at the very first taping, the first one that'll air, they kind of replaced Dusty Rhodes with JBL as the commissioner. Are you cool with the fact that they're infusing all this, at least the big storyline into what's going on in NXT as well?
It makes sense to do something like that, especially because, if Dusty's going to be away for the wedding and it wouldn't make sense to have his dad on there and nothing happened to his dad and repercussions for what his brother and, or for what Dustin and Cody did. So it makes sense. And, JBL, he's going to, be the commissioner. And I think he'll pull it off well. And the fact that Triple H came out, though, the crowd popped for him pretty huge, so... It wasn't like he got the boos that he gets when he comes up to the arena now in Raw. It was, the crowd went crazy because he came out. I mean, it's NXT.
He's there.
Triple H should show up. Oh, he's there.
That's the thing. He's
evaluating talent, but it doesn't mean he's going to come out on the stage at any time.
Right. No, that's true. That is true, and he's going to get a good reception. And so the crowd, is it? Do we need to fear that this will eventually become like the Impact Zone crowd for TNA, or will they start to kind of like the Bentley Balance and the Abyss chants and stupid stuff like that, or do you think they're going to pretty well maintain and not latch on to favorites that way?
No, they have their favorites. They definitely have their sayings and their favorites when the wrestlers come out. They know all the slogans And when everybody comes out, they chant, their names and their gimmicks and all that stuff. So Emma does her dancing. Everybody dances with her. Big guys dance with her. I may dance, but I'm not going to admit to that unless it's caught on video. They certainly have, their little things, but it's not like when I went to an Impact taping, it was all the guys for the casual fans, like Hogan, when he came out, or... people waiting for Sting to show up or something like that. That's the only time the crowd would pop. When, Kenny King came out or something, the crowd was dead. And it's like, wow, you're watching Kenny wrestle and you're that quiet?
Yeah, I know. And now you don't watch Kenny wrestle. Don't use him.
Yeah, you can't watch him wrestle and just be like, oh, yay.
No, I know. He's exciting. And yeah, I don't know what they're doing. It's whatever. It's DNA. It's DNA for you. So, how recognizable from the crowd's perspective was Santana Garrett just showing up out of nowhere?
I walked in the middle of her match because I went to the ladies' room because they were changing the ring for taping. So I walked in and I didn't get to see the full match at first, but I knew who she was. She seemed pretty known. She got a chant from some of the people who know her, and she had, I don't know if the people were there to see her, because, in my section, the people that were in the front row and stuff were cheering pretty loud for her. And when I brought it up on Facebook, I had a lot of people asking about her.
Gotcha.
And,
she's
beautiful. I like seeing her in person. She's really, really pretty. It was just, it was a short match, so it was hard to see what she could do, and especially when I walked in halfway through.
Yeah, it's just weird because talent have had dark matches at NXT tapings before, but to get a TV match like that, it's just weird. Does that mean something's going to come of it? Who knows? She's obviously been very quiet about it, and rightfully so. But hey, you know, if something comes of it and she ends up under contract, good for her. You know, it is, you know, not, she wouldn't have to move, which would be nice.
Yeah, she's certainly a hard worker. I mean, she would be good in it. She fits the what they look for, so.
This is true. She does fit what they look for, and she can work.
And
she can definitely
develop.
And
a lot better
develop.
than say, certain Total Divas that I'm not going to mention.
Yeah, well, they didn't even come from developmental. I mean, come on, they came straight from you know, the runway, and where JoJo came from. So, who knows?
From high school.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly, from high school. And you know what? Since we're being honest, like we are in this program, JoJo dating Randy Orton right now, like you know, that's the rumor anyway. Is that JoJo is dating Randy Orton. I don't think I don't think Brie Bella is dating Daniel Bryan for any reasons other than she actually wants to date the guy. I can't say the same about Nikki Bella, to be honest with you. I think John Cena gets a divorce and Nikki pounced on that. And I got to think JoJo, someone was like in her ear saying, you know, hey, Randy Orton divorce. Like it just seems to me like that's just like an obvious one, in my opinion.
I wouldn't doubt it unless it's set up for TV too. I mean, look at Eva Marie; she was engaged, but yet, you know, they're showing her flirting with other guys on TV, and everybody obviously knows she's engaged.
True.
So, I mean, it could be an angle for TV. It could be, you know, for season two. It could be set up. It could be PR, or maybe she's dislike him. Who knows? We won't know unless, you know, we're watching season two and it appears on season two. That's what a young one,
sure
though,
no? You know, she's like 19.
Isn't she like
19? She is. She's and here's a scary thing. If I were Lillian Garcia, I'd be worried. Because she already lost her job once, although she quit, and she quit right after Triple H called her horse face on TV. You know, she sings the national anthem, and she does a lot of that in ring announcing. And now you have JoJo showing up doing some ring announcing. You have JoJo singing the national anthem at a WWE event. Like, if I'm Lillian, and now she's dating Randy Orton. Like, if I'm Lillian, I think the writing might be on the wall. There
looking
for
a new job.
Yeah, and she's got a recording career. Great. Hopefully that continues to go well for her. Although she did come back to the WWE after leaving, so obviously there was a benefit there. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's one of those wouldn't shock me. So we'll.
I don't like her announcing as much as I do Lillian. Not at all.
Oh, I agree with you. But do you think they care in the WWE? Well,
of course not, and it would save them money and stuff too, I'm sure.
Yeah, Lillian coming back when she did, she probably wasn't getting a ton of money anyway. Like Lillian's probably not that expensive. Hopefully she makes more than Justin Roberts, but whatever. He's kind of their lead announcer now, so probably not. But you know, that's just my personal. That's true. That is true. That is. But and now they're putting out somebody in the chat room is asking, he didn't think she worked there when Triple H called her horse face. He called her horse face on television, and she was sitting at ringside because they immediately cut to her, and she gives a legitimate wow reaction. He was busting on The Miz. He called The Miz a horse face and then turned and said, no offense, Lillian, at which point they put Lillian on camera, and she was visibly upset. And like a week later, she announced she was leaving the WWE. So
that's horrible.
It was,
I don't blame her for leaving.
It was never reported that that's why she left, but I can't imagine any other reason. So it's just my thoughts there. So who knows, you know, and who knows what will happen in the future. Someone in the Snake Bit chat room, by the way, just posted, is JoJo that small child that sang at the beginning of a pay-per-view a couple months ago?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awesome. So that is absolutely phenomenal. So.
Oh, you know who made his debut on one of the house shows recently, right?
A lot of people made their debuts at the house shows.
The NXT house show. I'm sorry, NXT house show.
Did Ricker? Did Slate Randall make his first appearance?
Yes, he did.
Awesome. I'm so happy about that.
He co-hosted, I believe, not last week, the week before. He came out as a special co-host or something with the JoJo and Eva Marie and, you know, pretty much cut promos on them. And he announced Adrian Neville as – oh, he's going to kill me for this, but he announced Adrian Neville as Aaron Neville.
It wasn't on purpose? It's part of the gimmick?
No, it wasn't. It should have been, though. But he did some announcing, and he did, like, co-hosting for the show. So he's getting there. He's doing an awesome job.
Good.
Hopefully any day now on the taping.
Maybe the November tape or the November for the November shows, but the October taping, maybe he will make that first in-ring appearance there. We tried to get him on the show, as Heather knows, she's a big part of that, and unfortunately we weren't able to pull it off before he ended up in NXT. So we tried, listeners. We do our best.
He's doing good, though, so everybody knows. Doing great.
No, he is. He is. I definitely think that is outstanding. So, overall impressions of the NXT taping, just a total experience for you.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's I'd rather pay my, you know, 10 or 15 bucks to go to NXT than I would pay 45, 50 bucks to go to Raw half the time, because you're up close, you're in the action. I showed up a little late because of work, and we got there right when it was starting, and I still had amazing seats, and sat down and had a great angle, you know, and it's exciting. It's great to see these guys who are actually working because they want to be on TV and not just half-assing it because they're already on TV.
And it's free now to watch NXT, like on Hulu. Like, they moved it over to Hulu free, and so, you know, yeah, you have to deal with commercials, but you got to deal with commercials if you're watching Raw. So
yeah, it's pretty
awesome,
too. I'd highly recommend watching that. It's amazing to watch.
I saw someone bitching about the fact that there were commercials during NXT on Hulu, and I'm like, are you insane? Like, you suffer through commercials on all kinds of things in life, and you're bitching about commercials during NXT on Hulu.
Oh, it was probably me, because they're like 2 minutes long, though. And it's like right in the middle of a match. Oh, damn it. No, not during the middle of the match.
That's no different than Raw in any other wrestling show. But I understand what you're saying.
It's just like, you know me. I like to pitch.
I do know you, and you do like to bitch, and that's okay. That's what I've listened to many a bitch session, and I've been happy to do so, because that's just the way it works. I'm actually jealous. Like, I want to go to an NXT taping. I wanted to go to an Impact taping, and was just never there when they were going on. At some point, I will make my way to Orlando, probably somehow finagling a Disney World trip and being like, oh, it just happens to be when there's an NXT taping.
Even though it's nowhere near Disney, that's fine.
I don't care. Like, I can, I'll be like, I didn't realize it was that far away, but I already have tickets. So, you know, I will work this out. Heather, don't you worry. Like, there will be a reason to attend. That's for sure. That will definitely happen. I once got offered a job in Tampa a long time ago and turned it down because I didn't want to move to Tampa, Florida. And that's the one reason why I wish I had not said no to the job is all the wrestling that is down there. But that's, you know, I didn't want to move to Tampa. What can I say? So
I like it here, though. That's pretty good.
No, we're happy in Arizona, so that was part of our decision making. The kids like it out here; it's what you have to do. So we were completely fine in staying out here. So NXT taping is a success. watch the programs. Of course, the tapings that you were at are the October editions of NXT. And that's the thing about JBL. Like, he only has to be there once a month. So with his crazy, wacky travel schedule, he can make NXT work. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I don't think he's going to be at any of the house shows, you know, the shows that they do. So, yeah, so if he's at the tapings, it's once a month, and it's 3-4 hours long. So.
Yeah, well, and so how early do they start if they're that long?
What time?
Yeah, like I know you got there late, but how early do they usually kick those things off?
Usually starts around 6:30.
Oh, so that's not too bad.
And,
so.
Yeah, we don't get out till like 10:30. And I mean, they've got food trucks outside you can go eat at and, you know, grab drinks and stuff. And then they let you bring it into the arena and sit down with it.
Well, that's good. I'm surprised they don't sell it in there. Like, you'd think they'd want that money, but whatever.
Don't give them any ideas.
I'm sure the food truck is cheaper.
Well, no. But it's better.
True, yeah. I have a food truck that comes by where I work, and I haven't hit the food truck since February because of the whole diet thing, but the food truck was damn good. Damn good greasy food at the food truck. So, but you know, that doesn't go well with me dropping the 35 pounds that I lost. So, food truck, not a good idea for that. So, I don't hit the food truck, Heather. I don't hit the food truck.
Okay, no food truck for you.
No food truck for me. Now watch, I will go and eat at the food truck this week at work just because I said no food truck. Like someone will be like, oh, buy a food truck.
And you're going to text me yelling at me, aren't you?
No. Yes. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. It's so funny. Like, Heather, sometimes people listening to these shows don't believe that I interact with people during the week. Like, they just don't. Like they just don't believe me at all. Like, they think that I beg people to come on the program and then never speak with them outside of that. And that's not what we're about. So, and when I say we, I don't just mean Heather. I mean everybody. Everybody involved with the program. So, it's like a family. And that's why we can have so much fun on the air, bitching at each other and complaining at each other. So, what is coming up for you in the world of wrestling, Heather? Where can people see you next?
I had a show at Vintage last night, Vintage Wrestling in Sanford. And then this Friday night in Tampa, I have a show for FUW, Florida Underground Wrestling. Then I don't have anything. I'll be at Ring Warriors on the 29th in the Miami area. I forgot, I think Pompano Beach. No plans as of yet for on the show, but I'll be there because I'll be there in attendance and to support people. And then October 12th is my next show for Vintage in Sanford.
There you go. Excellent. So working your way in with everything that's going on down there in Florida. I watched the first Ring Warriors show online and rather enjoyed it. Very smart on them for carting out Adam Pearce in the very beginning. You know, and having him cut a promo against Bruce Santee, which makes me want to bring Bruce Santee on the show as a guest. Talk to him. Let's set something up.
I see him at least every 2 weeks or so. I just saw him last night. He's a big Bucks fan, so we talk a lot about our team and how crappy they are.
That's true. Hey, you right before we went on the air, Patrick and Heather were talking about the Bucks and the Chicago Bears, which Patrick likes. So that was fun for me to listen to. There was a time, Heather, where when we brought Andy Critchell on the show all the time, it was kind of like our third person for a while. It would always they would devolve into sports talk at some point, and I would just have to like mute everyone just to make it stop, and we hijack the program, and yeah. I would still bring Andy back in a heartbeat, but Andy stopped watching wrestling, so it's kind of hard to have somebody on the show that doesn't watch wrestling. It just doesn't work out too well.
Sometimes, you know, though, it's hard to keep watching it sometimes after some of the stuff, you know.
Sometimes a break is good.
Your heart can only be broken, yeah, but sometimes your heart can only be broken so many times.
And all I'll say is in preparation for next week, Heather, break your personal rule and watch TNA, because I am going to go bananas. Next week.
I just read the spoilers.
But I think we need to see it too. Like, I honestly think we need to torture ourselves and watch, at least watch the high spot. Like, at least watch the show ending angle and just the things that are going to piss me off, because I just feel it would be more entertaining for you and for everyone else listening to me bitch and complain if it's after having actually watched the program. That's my opinion.
All right, I'll watch it. I'll DVR this show.
See, that's why I love Heather Lynn. That's because
okay,
Tony
it's
would...
Okay, based on my DVR.
So. But then you can delete it as soon as you've watched it.
Thank God.
I didn't say you had to watch it more than once. Oh. So before we tie up some loose ends, let's I know we played it once already, but let's just make this thing official. Talk about tomorrow's Raw.
Shut up!
Okay, we're good with that. So, heading into tomorrow night's Raw, obviously we all think that somehow, some way, Daniel Bryan's not going to be WWE champion for very long. Do you think you think it's done on Raw tomorrow? Like, you think the belt's back to Orton by the end of Raw?
I'm about 80% sure that's the case. And unless they really want to swerve, you know, the IWC and everybody, then I would say that it's gonna be back on Orton by the end of this show.
That's what I think is going to happen too. Although they did some interesting things in that pay-per-view. You had Triple H cutting a promo against, you know, and putting Paul Heyman in a rough spot. And then you had Triple H saying there was going to be no outside interference because he wanted to make sure he made the right decision in the face of the WWE. So are we headed towards some weird dissension? Or is this all swervy and all these guys are going to end up together in the end with Triple H and Heyman and Ryback and The Shield and Orton and everybody else?
I don't know about Triple H and Heyman together. I think Triple H is just kind of, you know, shoving his authority in everybody's face at this point. I do think him saying that there's no outside interference during the match is going to play into the whole ref thing with the pay-per-view tonight towards tomorrow.
Because I could just, you know, I almost see some dissension between him and Orton backstage. Like, I think at the end of the day, it'll be fine. I don't think they're going to turn anytime soon or anything like that, but I could see Triple H kind of pointing out that he has to bail Orton out, so to speak.
Possibly.
So,
I'd have to watch it to see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens there. Expect anything other than some CM Punk Ryback interaction as the next chapter of the CM Punk Paul Heyman saga?
Nope. I see his Punk coming out, cutting one of his long promos and getting mad and, you know, telling everybody how hard he works and everything, which is true, he does. And then I see Ryback coming out and smashing things.
Yes, Ryback smash, which is really all he should do, to be honest with you.
Yes.
If this is the role they're going to do with him long term, then fine by me. I have no problem with it whatsoever. So, what do you want to see on Raw? What would you like to see them do tomorrow night on Raw?
I'd like to see Ziggler win a match. I don't know. I'd like to see Natalya do something because she's, I think, the only deserving one really out of the crew. Maybe her and AJ.
No, like she weren't submitted on Night of Champions. Like I don't know. I wish it
but
wasn't her.
She got kicked in the back of the head from, you know, in a double sharpshooter. And by the way, what was up with that double pin not being counted? That was crap.
Yeah,
or that
I know.
Pin. That made it look bad. That made it look like the ref was waiting for AJ or something. Yeah?
That's true. That is true. By the way, listeners live, if we get cut off, it does continue recording as we go into the bonus time. I don't think we'll go that far into the bonus time since we started an hour late. But just in case you're listening, it gets cut off, we go into the bonus time. Don't forget next week, Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux takes your calls. So call in, ask plenty of questions to Scarlett. She's excited about it, and we'll have lots of fun. And details on her calendar next week as well, how you can obtain the calendar that she's appearing in, and lots of good times there. So listen next week. Anyway, back to that. Dusty Rhodes is supposed to appear on Raw tomorrow. And Cody is now officially married, although it seems like he hasn't left on the honeymoon yet. Do you think we're just going to get more Triple H bullying the Rhodes family around? I know Stephanie said she had a proposal for Dusty. So do you expect anything other than the obvious with them?
I see Stephanie asking him to retire. You know, take it and walk away. She'll probably tell him, you know, for the sake of your son. I don't know, something along those lines.
Isn't he kind of already retired?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, because he was working at NXT.
Gotcha. So completely walk away.
Right. Walk away from the WWE and take your family with you and, you know, nothing will come of it. I don't know. Something along those lines. I really don't know what they're doing with this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing either, to be honest with you. I was surprised when I was surprised and I wasn't surprised. It makes sense because they brought in Gold Dust. I do think it'll be some form of you do this, we'll let Cody have his job back. I think it'll be something crazy. I thought Gold Dust was going to win, like Daniel Bryan was going to cost Randy Orton the match, and then Gold Dust would win, and then Cody would refuse to apologize. But yeah, they're doing something. Something is up, but at the same time, I don't think we're going to see Cody this week on Raw. But I do think Cody, long-term, is going to end up the better for all of this. Like, I kind of feel like we're headed to, eventually, Cody versus Orton and Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Like, that's kind of where I feel it's going. So, which is great.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it would elevate the hell out of Cody, which is something that I've been calling for you know, a plenty of time. People have thought I was crazy for how long I've been calling for Cody to get a big push. People have told me to give up, actually. And you know, whatever, I'm not giving up on it. Because I think that Cody's got a ton of potential, and given his age, he's still under 30, he could definitely do a ton of things in the WWE. So that's just my thoughts there. So, and I kind of agree with you. I don't know what to think about some of the stuff on Raw. I do think it kind of makes sense, but like I said, we got 3 weeks until Battleground, so we got to set some stuff up for Battleground. I feel like too many things were set up week of the pay-per-view, and they had 4 weeks to build Night of Champions, so I would love to see them build up some stuff for Battleground. I expect a lot of rematches unless they just do something weird with the Battleground theme. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen, but we'll find out. And
you
hopefully,
know what
Heather,
didn't bring up?
What?
The primetime players.
True. I mean, they got their title shot.
I thought for sure they were going to win.
I didn't think so, just because it was they won the match early, and I think their victory is going to have more build than that. I do think they're going to beat the Shield, just because you know. Honestly, because Darren Young came out and said he was gay. Like, I think that's why they're going to get the push that they deserved before that. The primetime players is one of the most entertaining acts in the WWE, and it sucks that it took that, but whatever. I'm glad they're getting a push because they're very talented performers. Their act is highly entertaining. Obviously, we've been fans of the primetime players on this program because we were playing this soundbite.
Anybody got time for that?
And this soundbite.
Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it slapped you in the face.
Long before anybody knew that Darren Young was gay. So, we've always been big supporters. Because Patrick Dowd and I got to meet Darren Young like years ago. Pick him up from the airport for a local show out here in Arizona. And just as humble as can be, watched him interact with Shane Sewell, who's Glamour Boy Shane in Puerto Rico, who's got 20-plus years experience in the business, and just listen to him, just listen to Glamour Boy Shane talk. It was amazing. Like, he was just soaking it all up. And, of course, then he became a big star. Of course, when he appeared in NXT as Darren Young, I was the only person in the room who didn't know that was the Fred Sampson that we picked up from the airport. Like, everyone else was like, you want us, Darren Young? I was like, I didn't know that was him. So, I do think they're going to win the titles, and I do think it'll come. I think it'll come on pay-per-view. You know, one thing I've noticed is they are doing the bigger things on pay-per-view now under kind of Triple H's quote-unquote regime or leadership. Like, you know, they seem to be, you know, a lot of people were surprised that Randy Orton cashed in at SummerSlam and not on Raw. And, of course, tonight you had the Ryback, you know, shift that happened on the pay-per-view as well. So I do think that title change might, you know, be safe for the pay-per-view. And if it happens at Battleground, great. I think, you know, this way it gives them time to build it up and not just kind of do it as a quick change. So I think they will win the belts, though, Heather. I think I know you expected it tonight. I think it'll still happen.
It should. I mean, possibly, you know, maybe Survivor Series they're waiting for.
Yeah, who knows? I with Triple H and his love for tradition, it wouldn't surprise me if Survivor Series follows the more of the traditional Survivor Series flow, which would kind of put the Shield into the multi-man Survivor Series match. But they may have lost the belts before that takes place anyway. Who knows? I think of all the members of the Shield, I think it's more important for Ambrose to retain his title long-term than it is for Rollins and Reigns, because I think Ambrose is going to blow up in 2014. I just think he's going to have a huge year, and I think, you know, I know some everyone's got their favorite member of the Shield, and I'm not really saying that Ambrose is my favorite member of the Shield, but I think he's the one that I see the most potential in fitting what the WWE wants from a high-level heel in Ambrose. So I don't know if you feel differently or kind of where you sit on which Shield member is going to break out long term.
Well, if we're going on looks, then I could say Roman Reigns is my favorite. But if we're going based on wrestling ability, then certainly it would be Ambrose.
I think all three have the potential to be big. It's rare that all three guys actually make it big, just looking at history in the WWE. But I think Reigns is definitely, he's got that quote unquote it factor. Like he comes out there and he just looks like the baddest dude in the room. He doesn't need to say much and he doesn't say much, which is good. There was a promo several weeks back on Raw where the Shield just kind of, nothing was going on with the Shield. It was before the Randy Orton turn, and Ambrose called himself the best in the world in this random backstage promo. And it almost made me think they might be leaning towards Ambrose versus Punk, and maybe some plans changed, but that just, you know, him randomly call himself the best in the world. I don't think anybody in the WWE is going to be allowed in a pre-taped promo to randomly call themselves the best in the world. I just don't think that would happen. So I think there's a plan there long term for Ambrose, and that's why I think he's going to blow up in 2014. May not happen until after Mania, who knows? But I think we could see big things from him, and I think he's got the potential to be just get over huge as a heel. So. We'll see, but should be a good Raw. And for you, Heather, you've just done over 2 hours of the Greg DeMarco show.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd have two more if I wasn't
falling asleep. Exactly. Yeah, it's 1 o'clock in the morning where you are, and so
you
pull
at 10:45
in the morning. So you got to get up.
But I get up at 7 because I have to take Alexa to school, and then I have to go to the gym and then go to work.
Exactly. So you got a kid, you got all that stuff, as do I, but for me it's only 10 o'clock. So, Heather, awesome job this week on the show, and you just continue to prove anyone wrong who says you're just a girl, to the point where me touting off about how good of an analyst you are isn't even really going to happen so much anymore, because it's a moot point at this point. Like, you just kill it, and it just doesn't matter, you know, male or female. You just come on the air and know what you're talking about. So,
well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I don't have you on. You're part of the show. I don't have you.
Having me on earlier for the
Oh, yeah. No, that was happy to do that, and we'll definitely find reasons to do it again in the future. Awesome. Well, have a wonderful week, Heather, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
There you go. Heather Lynn, great performance this week by Heather Lynn. Over 2 hours, still on a pay-per-view week. Don't forget, next week, the Perfect 10 Scarlett Bordeaux will be on, and we'll have lots of fun there. I know we had some people tried to call in today, and it was hard to work those in, and we do apologize for that. We will take more calls next week, especially during Scarlett Bordeaux's time on the program. We appreciate you all joining us, all of your support as well. Continue to hit up Pro Wrestling or Powerhouse Pro Wrestling. It's ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. I always get that screwed up in my head. And of course, PWP Radio this Tuesday night on PWP Radio, a huge interview with Bruce Hart, So you want to listen out for the Bruce Hart interview, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio, Bruce Hart. You don't want to miss that one. It's going to be lots of fun. If you've ever heard a Bruce Hart interview before, you kind of never know what he's going to say. So good luck, Jay, in that interview. And, of course, you thank all the support there from PWP Radio. Check it out, and we will talk to you guys next week right here on The Greg DeMarco Show.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.